And turn with me, if you would, Proverbs chapter 1. We visited this last week. Just going to go through a little bit of it again. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for learning what wisdom and discipline are. Remember last week we talked about discipline being the very submission of our hearts before the will of God. Discipline is maybe not what we thought it was. If we want to come to Jesus Christ today, if we want to be his people, we must be people of discipline. We must be people of submission before his word and before his way. This is all we're talking about, being people of God's word today. For learning what wisdom and discipline are, for understanding insightful sayings, for receiving wise instruction in righteousness, justice, and integrity, for teaching shrewdness to the inexperienced, knowledge and discretion to a young man. A wise man will listen and increase in his learning, and a discerning man will obtain guidance for understanding a proverb or a parable, the words of the wise and the riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. But look at that again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Knowledge of what? Well, last week we talked about how the growing within us is this yearning, this longing within this body of Christ for the knowledge of our God. And that's one thing, that's for sure. Oh, that we may know you, O God. May we say it like the Apostle Paul says. Oh, that I may know you in your sufferings. That I may know you in the intimacy of your word and in the intimacy of your ways. That the things of long gone by, the things of Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and Joshua and Judges and Ruth and the Kings and the Chronicles, that they may not be just simply long ago, but they may be here among us today. How does that happen? Last week we spoke of Daniel and how he comes to that crux in the matter. Will he follow the way of wisdom? Or will he become a fool like everyone else? And I'm telling you again today, the choice is yours, as never before, to walk the way of wisdom or walk the way of foolery. We are in a generation of fools. And I don't mean that to say that you are all fools, that the people in your family or in your neighborhood. I'm saying we are in a generation. We can't escape it. It's all around us. Are we perhaps even the generation of fools? We are the wise in the midst of it. That's why Jesus calls us to be lights, beacon lights, as stars in the heavens among those who are crooked and wicked. That's foolery. The generation around us is wicked and foolish. And we are so easily entangled, so easily sucked into it. But the Proverbs call us to something that is deeper, a deeper knowledge. It is a knowledge of God, but it is also a knowledge of ourselves. It's a knowledge of the world as it is. It is a knowledge of God's Word. It is a knowledge of church life the way it ought to be. See, we're talking about not just some knowledge of God, something we could put up on a shelf and say, I have knowledge of God. I'm talking about knowledge as it works within our being every day of our lives. If we are people of the Word, we are people of wisdom. If you have the Word of God in your heart, living and alive in you, then you are walking a way of wisdom. And the deeper that you go into the ways of the Word, the deeper you are in the ways of God, that is, in the wisdom of God. His perspective and His power should be going through you, but that depends on how you utilize His wisdom on a day-to-day basis. People of the Word, I call that to you, I call you that out of hope. I call myself that out of hope. That I am a man of the Word, that not just from here in the pulpit, but when I am rubbing shoulders with you in the Adirondacks, when I am walking the ways, and I'll tell you, there have been foolish moments in my life in this past week, times when I have grown impatient. That's the way of the fool. You understand what I'm talking about? This goes into the very nooks and crevices of our lives. The wisdom of God is to sustain us, is to embrace us deeply within, so that every part of my being is walking in a way of wisdom. Oh, to see it through the perspective of God when I see my children leave their cereal bowls on the kitchen table for the 100th time this morning. Oh, for the perspective of God. As driving back from youth camp yesterday, as the kids are screaming in my ear and kicking the driver's seat, oh, for the perspective of God in such a moment as that. Oh, for the wisdom of God to hold my tongue and my patience and to be the man of God that I'm called to be in such a moment. Is that real enough for you? The wisdom of God is what is supposed to penetrate into every part of my being. Yes, it's the knowledge of God, but it's the knowledge of who I am in the midst of who God is. It's the knowledge of how the world works and how it's supposed to work and how God designed it to work. If I were picking up this for the first time, or whether I was picking this up for the 1,000th time, which is probably closer to it, I'd be asking myself, how in the world do I get a hold of that? That the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Knowledge of God, knowledge of how the world works, knowledge of me and how I am supposed to work in the kingdom of God, the fear of the Lord. How do I get a hold of that? Well, I'm glad you asked, because for several months now we've been talking about exactly those things. How do I become a man of deeper reverence, deeper steadfast faithfulness, a deeper worshipful man, a more hotly burning worshipful man before the image in the image of Christ? That is what I desire. And that is what we desire for the body of Christ at Amherst. So when we say, you know, we have these posters up here that talk about the different realities of what God's trying to do with our body of Christ here at Amherst, we have three major inner workings that God is trying to instill within us. And one is deeper communion with God. That constant walking in His power. Second was the deepening of spiritual communication. That's a prayer life. And we want to speak more about that. Talk about how the deepening of prayer in our lives is not just growing your laundry list and how to share it with God and manipulate Him into our ways. That's not a good way of communicating with the Creator of the world. But today, I really want to focus on that third thing, which is the deepening of our study of the Word of God. See, Proverbs is all about that. If you become people of the Word of God, then we can live in the perspective and the power of God. And as we said last week, if all you want to do is put this into your head, I warn the Awana kids about this every year, those quizzers. Any chance I haven't talked about the Bible quiz? You ever see those guys? There are some ridiculously smart kids who are in those Bible quizzing things. But God have mercy on us if everything that we do in that is all going just into our brains and all it is just calculated response. And it never works into a place of wisdom in our lives. If we never live out in power and perspective the ways of God, we are not wise people. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It is the beginning of walking in the ways of wisdom, but it is not the end. How do I become a deeper man of fear? Well, that fear, that word fear there, as I had just defined for you, and we did last week as well, is not merely just me trembling in my boots. The fear of the Lord, oh, I'm just so scared of what God's going to do. Now, there are some people who have that perspective of God. And there is some reality to that as well. That perhaps the holiness of God should maybe make us shake in our boots when we think about what we're in the midst of doing. But that's not what is being spoken here in Proverbs. This word for fear of the Lord is not talking about trembling in that way. It's talking about the reverent, respectful, faithful, worship of our Creator. Let me say it again. Actually, I think it's right here in the... There we go. The reverent, faithful worship of God. You find that your life exudes that reverence. Do you feel like your life exudes that faithful walking? Does our church exemplify the wisdom of God and the way it conducts its business? Boy, I really believe that God has done a great work in our lives in these past years. And how God has really captured our heart and unified our hearts as a body. I'll say that, okay? I'm not saying this as a critique of us so much, but it is an ongoing. If we just sit back on our laurels and we say, hey, we've been there, we've done that, we're okay with this, and we never examine ourselves, we never examine our families. Let's talk about your family. Does your household, in the midst, as a lighthouse, in the midst of your neighborhood, does it exude the wisdom of God, the greatness of God, His great name we just sang about? Is it proclaimed from your home? Or do the open windows have to close sometime because dad's getting a little bit upset? Or because the kids are too off their rocker? What does your home prove about your worship in the midst of your neighborhood? We could take this to your ministry, youth ministry, as we walk from place to place. Do we exude the greatness of our God as we walk from place to place? Yesterday, on the way back, I had to stop. We had, there's 12 kids. And we were coming out of one of those rest stops because they have like the smallest bladders in the face of the earth, I swear to you. I swear we were never even in the car for more than 5 seconds. And it's like, I gotta go pee. And it's like, you've got to be kidding me. I thought Abby was bad, but she wasn't even in my car. She was... This is sorry, older kids. So we pull into these rest stops, and they would file out, and they'd push their way through, and these people are trying to come in, and they're pushing their way through. And I called them over. I said, what are you doing? This is the example of who you are, the way you live your life, the way you push yourself through a door is the way of your wisdom. It shows your wisdom or lack thereof. Old men, I'm telling you, there was this one old guy, he must have been 80, 90 years old, and they just pushed their way through like it was nobody else. I said, listen, this must change. This is not showing forth the God that you're coming off of camp proclaiming. Be the people of the Word, and it shows out in the way that you love each other, the way that you hold doors open for each other and for other people. And that you go orderly and follow through. Am I out of my mind thinking that we can do this? No, these kids all said, I get it. We didn't get another chance to try it, but we'll see. Hopefully it's going to work in your lives as the weeks go on. We talked about the vision of the church last week and this banyan tree. Now you can see the actual representation that we have, this banyan tree. And the fact that we are becoming thriving, multiplying, joy-filled followers of Jesus Christ, growing deeper in understanding, growing deeper in our knowledge of God, and our understanding of who God is in our lives. Thriving, multiplying, joy-filled. And each one of these little things coming down here are church plants and their ministries. But guess what? That's not just that. This banyan tree is also, this big trunk here, it's also filled with it is all kinds of individual strands that have formed into this hub, this trunk. That's you. That's me. If we do not fortify ourselves on the inside and train up a child in the way that he should go, if we do not do the work of the Word of God amongst ourselves, then we are not going to be the church planting church that we are calling ourselves. We are not going to be the missional church that we could be. we are not going to be the people of God reaching Willow Ridge in the way that we ought to be. Wisdom is us forming together this God-centered, God-minded body of Christ in the middle, working together like we will tonight in the church family meeting, working together to find out what God is in the midst of doing with us and moving and marching forward. And then allowing those strands to come off one at a time and to reach out further and further into the surrounding area until this tree doesn't just look like a tree, it looks like a forest. And the impact of God is not the impact of Amherst Baptist, and we'll never call it that. I don't want that. I want the image of God to be proclaimed, not the image of Amherst Baptist. His great works that we've been talking about and singing about today, his great works, what an amazing thing. We cannot take the credit for this. Church plants going on, people coming to Christ. We do not take any credit for any of this. What in the world do we know anyways? We only know the next step that God would have us go. Is it going to be the ESL for ISI? Praise God if it is. Direct us otherwise if it's not. But Lord God, show us, direct us, provide for us the vision so we can carry out what you have already shown us. And so here's the crew. This is the 12 that went with us. What a great group. All, and this is after. This is just yesterday. They're still smiling, and they're even though they're home. And I got to the corner of Willow Ridge and Pepper Tree, and I said, "Who wants to go back to camp?" And the entire place said, "We do." They loved it. They wanted to be back. They loved it. I said, "We probably should talk to your parents first, and get somebody else to drive you." And then, so Catherine and I spent the last week facilitating these kids in their camp experience there at Word of Life. And the question is, you know, why do we do this? Why do you do this to me? Why do we do this to you at VBS each week? Why do we do this to Awana workers? Why do we do this to youth workers? Why do we do this to DNA? And why do we do this in small group studies? Why do we do this? Because we believe that there is a wisdom from above that first is pure and peaceable, gentle and yieldable. And we want to usher it into the hearts of those who are coming behind us, whether they are this big or whether they are this big. Doesn't matter. We're the body of Christ, and we need to allow the wisdom of God to proceed. We do this because we believe that involving students, by involving ourselves in a deepening study of God's Word and God's perspective, we are opening our minds and our hearts to a deeper understanding and knowledge of who God is in our lives, in our world, all around us. And therefore, we are helping to create within the whole body of Christ an atmosphere for this supernatural, and we go back to it, this supernatural, reverent, faithful worship. And it begins in such as these. Some of these kids at this moment do not know Jesus Christ. But they have been planted the seed of the Word in their lives. Some of them are ready to walk into baptism. And been talking with me some time about it. I wish you'd get back on that road. Let's talk about that. We would like to see the waters of baptism churn up again. And people are excited. It's a great testimony. Hearing what God did in Mike Master's life last week, was that not encouraging to you guys? That was glorious. Let me just tell you this. Three of our students from our student ministry went and worked with Mike this past Thursday night. He mentioned to you that Thursday night was going to be the varsity football thing. I just gave you a slight report. He gave it to me this morning. Maddie and Jenna and Gina, I think, were the three that went. And he was just totally blessed by you guys. He really was encouraged by your participation in that. And he said 75 of the football students stood up to receive Christ on Thursday night. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, Mike and his ministry there is one of those guys. They are always going back around. He's very findable. He's on the campus all the time. So let's just be praying for him to know how to disciple and to reach into these students' lives in continuous ways and into their coaches' lives as well. But you know, again, when we look at Proverbs 1 through 7, it shows us great benefits and purposes in becoming wise and becoming people of God's Word. In verse 2 it says, it is for gaining wisdom and understanding insightful sayings. In verse 3 it says that we may receive wise instruction. In verse 4, the teaching of shrewdness, that is careful planning. Sometimes we think of shrewdness as being something deceitful or devious, but that's not obviously what the Proverbs are talking about. They're talking about being able to be shrewd, to plan out how you're going to walk, to be wise planners. And how about discretion? Discretion can be used in evil ways as well. It can be used to hide the truth or to be deceptive, you know. But he's not talking about that. He's talking about understanding the inner thoughts of ourselves, inner thoughts of our people that we are meeting with, and that's counseling and all kinds of other ways. So we have gaining wisdom, understanding insightful sayings, receiving wise instruction, teaching shrewdness and discretion. And why does this happen? Because people of God's Word have an ability to walk in the perspective and power of God's wisdom on a daily basis. On a daily basis. People, you know, maybe this seems simplistic to us. It's simplistic until the rubber meets the road, right? This means that wisdom is ours for the taking as people of God's Word. The wisdom of God and the next decision you are to make is right there at your hands. It's right there for you to take and to taste and to live off of. And just because you are a wise person does not mean that you can take it for granted that your next step is going to be a wise step. You must go back to the Word of God at every turn, at every chance we have to match up with what God Almighty says into our lives. We have the opportunity to understand the perspective and the power of the Creator God in our lives. And yes, it makes a difference in your daily life, not just the lifelong decisions. Eric, you're telling me that this has to do with me having knowledge and understanding of my history work? My bio paper that's going to be due in a couple months, and my language skills. That's too academic for some of us, so let's move on. How about in the way that I take care of my child, in the way that I raise my son? How about, are you telling me that the wisdom of God in my daily, this is my daily business, is making sure that my kid gets on the bus and gets to school and understands his homework. My daily business is being a good employee. My daily business is being a good CEO. What I'm telling you is this. What Eric has to say has nothing good for you. What I'm telling you is that the wisest man on the face of the earth who ever walked this, prompted and inspired by the only wise God, put down Proverbs to show us a path to wisdom. And he says this. If you want to be a man or a woman after God's word, if you want to have wisdom in your life and in your heart, then it starts where you end. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I dare you to try to rightly worship full of yourself. Worship God while you're full of yourself. Can't happen. I dare you to try to be faithful to somebody else when you're completely full of yourself. It does not happen. Husbands, you should know this by now. Cannot happen. Wives, you should know this by now too. Children, you should know this. You cannot serve one another when you are full of yourself. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Knowledge how to be a good husband, knowledge how to be a good father, knowledge how to be a good pastor, knowledge how to, all of it falls under the wisdom from above. And I can live discerning, and I can live understanding and receiving and becoming a wiser and wiser man if I grow deeper and deeper in His Word. So when's the last time you got serious about getting deep in the Word of God? Seriously deep. Does this have to do with everyday life? Well, yeah, absolutely it does. We have a couple of examples that you could look at in the Bible, daily life type situations. And then I'll give you one from my own life. We know about the Bereans in Acts chapter 17. Paul comes to them, kind of chased out of Thessalonica. He finds himself there amongst this body of Bible searchers, scripture searchers, seekers. Okay, they're seekers of truth. And Paul would speak to them words of wisdom, which truly were words of wisdom, words of God. And what did they do? With every chance, every syllable he spoke, they matched it up to the Word of God. And they were considered to be noble. And Paul applauded them for the greatness in their study of the Word of God, because they didn't take anything for granted. Just because this great speaker, this great man came among them, did not make them shiver in their boots and say, yes, yes, we bow to your every word. No, they took it and they looked at scriptures and they matched it up and they said, yes, on a day-by-day basis, this matches up. And many of them came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because they turned their hearts toward the truth. Let me give you a not-so-nice situation. Joshua chapter 9. What a great man of God. Another great great man, isn't he? Joshua, I love Joshua. From the earliest, youngest of ages, he stood by Moses, thick and thin, almost got stoned with when they told him that they needed to go into the promised land. God said, let's do it. And Joshua and Caleb stood there by Moses. Everybody rose up against them. They didn't go in. Joshua and Caleb are the only ones left after 40 years in the wilderness. Now they enter in, the walls come down, they have this little issue with Ai, and then get to chapter 9 in Joshua. And Joshua, this great man of wisdom, a great man of God, has a slip-up, and he does not seek out the mind of God in this regards. The deception of Gibeon takes place in chapter 9 of Joshua. When all the kings heard about Jericho and Ai and all the west of the Jordan and the hill country and the Judean foothills and all along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea toward Lebanon, the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, they formed a unified alliance to fight against Joshua and Israel. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they acted deceptively. And so what they do, they say, we don't want to be destroyed. We see that God is moving upon them, so they deceive themselves. They deceive the Israelites by making their clothes look like they've traveled a long way. They get moldy bread, and they walk into the Israelite camp, even though they're the next-door neighbors to them. They're the ones that are supposed to be destroyed and taken out of the way, so that they're not a hindrance to God's plan, His kingdom in the future. But these Gibeonites come to them and deceive them, and these guys are totally taken in. Now, how in the world can that take place? People of wisdom? Joshua, a man of God, a man of wisdom? Does God speak to that kind of situation? Yeah, the Bible says, and they did not look to the voice of God, and they were deceived. And they established peace with people they were not supposed to establish peace with. And they became a thorn and a burden in the progress of God's kingdom from that point forward. You see, just because you are a wise man, a wise woman, just because you have lived a great life in the Word does not mean that a day-by-day choice doesn't need to be made. You have to make the choice to be wise, to choose the right way. I'll give you one more example. Everyday type of situation. 16 years ago, there's a woman who walked through this door and sat here. I think almost exactly right here. And I never had met her before. She actually was a woman from Alabama. Her name was not Catherine. Her name was Kay. She walked through the door, sat here, didn't really meet anybody up to this point. I, shortly after, walked down the aisle and stood up there and led music. And the wisdom of God, take this for a day-by-day basis, the Spirit of God, knowing nothing of me, knowing nothing of anything, prompted upon her heart one thing: that man is going to be your son-in-law. That was the first thing God spoke to her when she walked into this place. She never spoke it to a single person other than her husband. Never said anything to Catherine. In fact, that entire week she stood in this facility. Catherine was my intern. She was working with the children's ministry at the time. She looked for a week to try to figure out what in the world is going on between these, because she was so exactly sure that God had spoken this. The fact of the matter is, Catherine and I didn't even like each other at the time. We had no interest in each other, so there was nothing for her to see. By the time Catherine left, still hadn't said anything to Catherine about it. Catherine says, "I think I met the guy I'm going to marry." It was no news to Kay or Tommy. About a month later, I sat in their living room, and they grilled me. Tommy grilled me for hours. It's a good thing. It was a good thing. And then he turns and he says, "Well, Catherine, your mama has something to say." And she goes and tells us how God prompted her with wisdom and discernment, so that they were at complete peace from this guy. They knew nothing of me, but God did. And God had given them a road to peace, a road to joy in the midst of this. And it was such a relief, it was such a blessing to know that a woman of God listened to the voice of God, walked in His wisdom, and we are able to live as a family together. And I still think of Kay as one of the greatest women of God that I know. And not just because she knew I was going to be her son-in-law or anything like that, but she's a great woman. We're not going to work our way into the next part of Proverbs. But let me ask you this. Does your life resemble the kind of reverent, faithful worship that is being called of us? In the fear of the Lord. Does your home resemble the reverent, faithful worship of God? About your individual daily life. That's really what we're getting down to here today. The way that you deal with your neighbors, the way that you deal with your church body, the way that you deal with your children when they're just a mess, the way that you deal with your wife or your husband, does it reflect the fear of God? Because I'm going to tell you, as we read through the rest of the first chapter of Proverbs, it really causes me to ask this question. How many young men would be alive today in our midst, in our world, if wisdom was lifted up rather than violence and gang warfare? How many bigots would be silenced If the wisdom of God was spouted off as the highest acclaim, rather than the dramatic, silly, political, or any other kind of talk that goes on. How many church splits would keep from happening if wisdom ruled the day? How many homes would not be broken apart? If instead of choosing to go the way of the fool, we chose to go the way of righteousness and wisdom. You think it doesn't apply to you today? It applies to everything and all of us. This might be a nice, happy little story about my mother-in-law, but I'll tell you this, my mother as well as my mother-in-law, they know how to walk day by day seeking out the face of God and His wisdom to know what their next step might be. They are very practical, wise women. And sometimes the small issues in life, day to day, they meet up with the big issues. But you know what? It's really difficult to make those wise decisions when you're facing a lion's den, when you're facing a fiery furnace. And so many of us get to that place where the Gibeonites have come into our midst, deceiving us and putting us down, and we don't even know it because we have not connected with the wisdom of our God. When will we change? People of the Word, let us be just that. Walk in wisdom this week. There's far more we're going to go into, and you can go ahead and read on the rest of this chapter. This series is not going to go forever, probably another couple weeks, just to talk about Lady Wisdom a little bit and a couple other things. But I hope the call is clear enough. Fear the Lord with all of your life. Let your reverent, faithful life be that one of worship, hot and fiery and on fire for God. It comes and it rescues you at the greatest moments and brings you peace and understanding when you most need it.